Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening, and thanks for being with us. Thank you, one and all, for taking some time with us, wherever you are, whenever you are. And thanks so much for hanging out, because otherwise, why would I do this, right? My guest tonight is Wendy Garrett, and I like to say that if you like the show, blame Wendy, and we'll tell that story. Wendy is a host of another show here on Empower Radio and my dear friend, and was how I wound up doing this. So we'll be talking to her in just a few minutes. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And there is so much going on and so much I would like to say that I don't even know if I can say it in a clear way. We have a hurricane that's going through the Caribbean and up along the coast of the United States. And that's the big story and the big drama at the moment is people hunkering down or evacuating from this really powerful storm. But if it was 2 days ago, the big story would have been the Dakota Pipeline. There are Native American tribes from all over the United States who have come together in North Dakota to fight corporate interests who want to put a fracking pipeline through the reservation. And this has gone on all over our country. We took this country from them. We wiped out millions of people, took their land, gave them scraps of the worst land in the country, and have treaties with them that say, you know, yes, you have nation sovereignty. This is your land. This is what we'll do for you and all that kind of stuff. And we break those treaties all the time. And we allow private companies to break those treaties all the time. And it's at the very least scandalous. But it amazes me that we can watch greed and its ugly system of colonialism still going across the planet. And it's happened everywhere. I can't say that the stuff that happened on this continent was worse than stuff that's gone on historically on other continents, but it all gets down to greed. And another form of greed is power and the desire to own land and therefore own resources and eventually own people, which is what slavery was about. So it's greed leading to making everything a commodity, no longer giving anything inherent value, no longer looking at things and saying, I'm responsible for them, or these are human beings and I must treat them as human beings. None of that matters. It's just getting stuff. So somewhere along the line in this past week, talking with a friend about this, I got to my bottom line, which is greed in any form is violence. That almost all the violence in the world is caused by greed. And there are many forms to it. There are many economic systems and political systems that in various ways have formulated their particular little kind of greed and their desire for power and taking over land and controlling people and all of that stuff, all of which is still greed. And horrible things have happened. And it was just nearly overwhelming to me to just look at all of it and go, it's just greed. And as some of you have picked up from listening to the show, a lot of the clearing work that I do has to do with dark forces. And all of that stuff is greed. It just starts in the non-physical. It's about control. And it's about taking over. It's greed. So my little thing to think about from David today is that greed is causing all of the mess, pain, violence on this planet. That was startling to me. Anyway, that's tonight's metaphysical music. And let's talk to my dear friend, Wendy. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm parked on the porch. yeah, Florida's getting slammed with the hurricane. We're in the Midwest where we've got a little storm going through, and so we're without power. But it's, I mean, I'm watching the lightning. I'm listening to the thunder. It's not so bad.
It's quiet except for the storm, right?
Yeah, well, you know, except for the thunder, yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not in a place where I'm going to be hit by lightning, I don't think. I seem to be grounded at this point. But yeah, tons of energy. Just amazing, the energy that's going through.
Well, and thank goodness for cell phones, and we can still do the show. We always have backup systems. So the reason I say that it's all your fault that I've been doing this for 5 years, thank you so much, is that lo, those many years ago, you interviewed me. And I guess you went to Brent Carey, who is the power and brains behind Empower Radio, and said, hey, this guy's pretty good. I think about giving him a show. And we came up with this.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I was like, you have to give this guy a show. He's fun. And he took it under advisement, and then, you know, talk with you first.
Right.
He, yeah. Yeah. So it was 5 years. Yeah. Wow. Are you kidding?
It's over 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing how fast this thing has flown by. But yeah, right. I think you're doing a great job, and I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing and that people are able to access some of your wonderful gifts. And now, do you still work? I got to know, the dragon.
Yeah. Yes, I still have dragons.
Okay.
As companions. And there are some very funny stories about my dragons, but which we can talk about later or not. But
oh,
yeah,
darn. It's fire energy. That's why I'm like, you know, that's the zap, the zing, the fire energy. And right now with this, a lot of this water, some of that fire comes in as a nice counter.
There you go. Well, it's interesting because everybody has that image of the fiery, you know, fire-breathing dragon and all of that stuff. And that's not necessarily the personality of an individual dragon. You know, given something that requires pushing back hard, yeah, although I've never actually seen fire, but I've had a couple of confirmations that the dragons are not just figments of my imagination. One was my dear friend Maureen McElroy, who came over to me at a convention, said, I've been wanting to meet you. And, oh, by the way, who's your friend? And she pointed to my shoulder. I said, what do you see? What do you see? The dragon. What, you know, what color? Red. What's his name? So that was one confirmation. She's got a number of interesting companions as well, including a dragon. But the most fun was a guy from, I don't even remember where, contacted me through my website and said, your dragons are scaring me. And I wrote back and said, how do you know about my dragons? He said, well, I heard about it on the radio show, so I decided to go look. So I psychically reached out to look at you and your dragons. And they're scaring me. They're baring their teeth and they're yelling and doing things. Yeah, that's their job.
Good luck with that. Yeah.
Right. So while we're at it, describe them to me. And he was right on the money. He described them exactly, which was great fun because it was a confirmation from a third party who had no way of knowing any of that stuff. I said, yeah, well, if you just pull your energy away from me and away from the dragons, they'll have no reason to show their teeth and you won't be looking at them. So just don't be stupid.
Oh, part of that, and the reason I ask is because I had a sense of a clearing earlier in the week, and you seem to be part of that, but it walked into a metaphysical space, and the space had been cleared, and I saw you sitting in a chair. And like, okie dokie, guess you're doing your work, and I'm, you know, picking up on it. But it was just one of those little moments of connectivity, and I have no idea what it related to. Well, it's part of it, yeah, I could. And you are very good at just intuitively going into a space and dematerializing or getting rid of negative dark energy. That's what you do. That's your forte. And so I think you probably do that just even, you know, in getting ready to connect with other people without having to actively engage it. That's my sense. Does that make sense to you?
That may well be true, especially if I had any sense in our conversation that things were funky for you or something.
Like I'm in the dark right now on the porch. What's up with that? This is the first time I've done the show from the bathroom when there was tornado went through, and I was, you know, in there with my computer and the power was still on. But this is the first for the porch.
It's a day full of firsts. You know, you're only the second person that's ever said that they've seen me somewhere. I had a client once say that she saw me, and that's not my experience when I work. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to put myself in the place. I may be looking into it, but it's not like I'm saying, well, I'll sit in the living room. And yeah, that's not how it works.
Well, and for me, I just saw you. What I saw was the focus was you in the center of a room. The room had been cleared. There was only nothing on the floor. The walls were empty. The room, the furniture was out, and the sense was you were clearing space for whatever you were doing. Sometimes that's holding an intention to clear too. So, that which might come in handy right now with the, you know, could you put the power back on? Just a minor request.
I'll see what I can do. While we're doing this.
Thank you. So anyway.
But, you know, this is an interview about you, so we're having fun because we're having fun. But one of the things that I find fascinating, I don't get to talk to you much, but I watch your Facebook posts. And I don't always get to read all of them because you're prolific. You post all kinds of stuff. And it's not the joke kind of stuff that I mostly post, which has philosophy and other meanings to it, but you post interesting science and stuff about UFOs and all kinds of things. So you're obviously, most of what I do is reposting interesting stuff that people send to me. And obviously you're looking for stuff and you have interests so give folks an idea of what those interests are, because it's a really broad range of stuff that you're always poking around in.
I'm curious. And I want to know how things work. I want to know what triggers action and what triggers basically the quest for knowledge. The stuff that happened to me when I started really getting into this and began experiencing more metaphysical connections in this nightlike thing became a 24/7 interaction, made me much more, I guess, aware of so many other things going on under the radar. And having been a newscaster for many years, a couple of decades, and in radio and that kind of thing, then I was constantly having to be on alert, looking for news, but I couldn't do the news I wanted. I couldn't get into the other content, the quirky stuff, the things that I think are much more fascinating, and because they don't make the headlines, and a lot of people really miss out on some of this really incredibly amazing things that are happening right now, along with all the other trauma drama stuff that hijacks basically front page.
Right.
And that's what I look for. I look for things that might make people feel excited or curious or in some way inspired to go out and do their own research or rethink some things that they might have taken for granted that our science is proving is completely old school news. It's regurgitated, reformed, and repeated in perpetuity, but it's no longer relevant or valid. That's what I look for.
Right. And I'm trying to remember which science things you posted this week, because they're always fascinating. Anyway, I don't remember. But the other thing that you post.
That's okay. Which one are you remembering what?
No, at the moment, I'm not remembering which of the quirky science stories you posted this week, but it's very often things that are challenging the standard way of looking at things, where science has come up with new information and confirmed new information, which the public may not hear about for decades. Because of the way all of that stuff works, it's not going to get into the classroom. It's not going to get into other things unless that discovery changes something.
Some of the stuff I've been focused on recently has more to do with telepathy and communication and the way that we are engaged without knowing it. And I spoke with Dr. Bernard Beitman about coincidences and synchronicity. Bottom line, when we had the conversation, he says it's really about telepathy. And in some ways, that's a negative for people because they associate it with some kind of psychic premonition and, you know how the world's going to end if it's going to end. That has nothing to do with it. What it has to do with is that you can communicate with other beings, whether they're physical or non-physical. The world around us is alive. It's conscious. Right. So we can communicate with other animals, with trees, with beings. And I've had contact with things that we would call extraterrestrial, but that's not the right name. I don't believe they're naturally from some other planet. I think that some of this stuff is transdimensional. And transterrestrial maybe is a word, but transdimensional means that it would be like, transatlantic, going from plane to plane, and they are able to connect with us. And on some level, some of us, the shamans and some of the elders who've been around for eons, know that this is possible. But it's a closed room to get into that kind of work and that kind of knowledge, because it can be dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. If you can't get out of the wonderful little rabbit hole that you dug into and found all these amazing rooms and all this fantastic magical element, you have to know where the door is to come back. And that's the issue that sometimes is involved when you are not mentally or psychologically on top of your game, knowing that these things can be incredibly awesome and incredibly overpowering and overwhelming when you really get into these, like a Kundalini experience or, these other energy states of hyper alertness, and there is no controlling it the way we're used to controlling. Sometimes you have to sit and write it out, and it may take months or years.
Right.
That's why I'm so fascinated by it.
And those overwhelming experiences of things that sound at the very least fanciful, but certainly crazy to someone who's in psychiatry. It's non-physical and it doesn't make any sense. It's called a hallucination and you get put in a hospital and drugged, which is the unfortunate thing that happens to a lot of people who are beginners in this stuff and wind up in some corner that they shouldn't have gone to without a teacher. But yeah, there are some very powerful things going on, but this, if you're willing to kick around this idea, that's why I said, I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens. Actually, my thing lately is I'm not saying it's demons, but it's demons. and that's the juicy conversation. You know, the idea of aliens or extraterrestrials is these people-like beings from other planets. And they have to come from far away because all the planets are far away. And they know more of more than we do and are more technically advanced for no reason that we could figure out, except that's how it is. And the more that I listen to the information that comes through from people who are focusing on this and dealing with these entities, the less I think that's an accurate way of describing who they are. And multidimensional, transdimensional certainly fits that conversation, that understanding of, you know, who are these beings. But then there's this stuff that gets murky where people say that our DNA really is ET DNA. It's not from this planet, or they start talking about demons being aliens or aliens being demons. And all the stories start getting really, really mucked up. And I don't have any clear answers about it, but I know the places where the stories don't make sense, you know, where there's no longer a good answer.
I think part of that problem is that people want an answer. They want a definition. And we aren't there yet. We're really on the cusp of learning about our own abilities and our own future in terms of where we're going with all of our science, with this quantum thing that's incredibly rapidly evolving. We're talking the cold fusion, the types of travel it's going to take to get us to Mars and do what Elon Musk is talking about, and colonizing places that, you know, back, 40 years ago, this was just a far-fetched fantasy. This is, you know, Douglas Adams. This is Philip Dick. This is all the, you know, the sci-fi stuff. But that's where our ideas come from. Those are what are right. We're getting our plants and our premonitions and our insight and our inspiration. That takes us from Jules Verne to Elon Musk. You know, to right. There's the reality.
Right. And that new... I love that the new ship that they're developing with warp drive to be able to travel faster than the speed of light was named the Enterprise.
Imagine that. Imagine that. Imagine. And see, that's the deal. That's the thing that we have in our favor, is that we can imagine. And part of that is what I get excited about when I realize that we have so much potential. And we're going places we haven't even begun to imagine.
Right.
But the beginning of that imagination is going to take us beyond those places. And some of the stuff that I am really excited about and inspired by is the people who had these, one of the guys who had his father tell him that he remembered a life in the future as an Atlantean. And he came back here, and this is his dad checking out at the very end and saying, I didn't tell you this, but write all this down, because this is the double life I have been living for the past, you know, 30, 40 years, and I want you to have it so you can share it. Well, there was another guy who had a narcoleptic coma back in, I think, the 27 or something like that, and he was out for a year or so. When he came back, he had all these memories of the year, like, I think it was 4,000, up to 4,020. Anyway, these stories, there's a guy who's an anthropologist, and he's written several books. He's in Hawaii now. I'm trying to, Sandra Ingerman, I believe, is his partner. And for some reason, the name is escaping me. But he talks about, he has the Hawaiian culture that he's now carrying, I believe.
We're going to have to go to the future in the future, because right now in space-time, we're going to have to go to a break in a minute.
Yeah, I know. I can tell the transition happening. Jump the bridge.
Exactly. Tell people where they can find you.
Oh, well, right now I'm doing wendyscoffeehouse.com. You can check that out. wendyscoffeehouse.com. It's a fun site. Talking to Nightlights, or animalnsite.com.
Fantastic. Terrific. And we will we'll pick up that whole thread about people having experiences in the future when we get to the future. We'll be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller. My wonderful guest is Wendy Garrett, and she's with us on the Farkas Files. This is David Franklin Farkas. Don't go nowhere. We're going to have some more fun right after the break.
Tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. Then you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg!
Ha-ha! I win! Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over a million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Wendy Garrett, who is another host here on Empower Radio, among the many other things she does. And what else are you doing? Well, tell people about the shows you have on Empower.
Hank Wesselman was the name I was trying to think of.
Okay.
I thought I've got to do that. The shows. Oh man, I've had some tremendous. Some of the ones, the recent shows, already. Six Killer Clark. She's the one who has done all of the research on indigenous experiences with ETs, star people. And I love talking with her because she's a great storyteller, and she gets people to just give her all sorts of information, things about portals where you can step into like a highway. Oh, the lights just came on. Portals. Isn't that great? Anyway,
just another service we provide.
Yeah. So right. There's so many, I think, fascinating stories. She's one of the ones I really enjoy because of these diverse characters that she's able to bring into the equation, where it isn't just one culture, it's multicultural. And some of the stuff that she got from South America, Mesoamerica, that she traveled for 8 years gathering stories, using an interpreter, trying to get people to tell her these experiences that, yeah, you're not going to tell a psychotherapist. You don't want to tell somebody you don't trust.
Right.
And that for me is a researcher. That's what we have to uncover. There's several works in progress talking about these experiences that people are having, and I've had my own. And lo and behold, I go into one of the doctors that I see, a dermatologist, and he says he had two sightings when he was in Nebraska, and just this is, you know, UFO stuff. When you start talking to people and they're not afraid to talk about this, which is much more likely now than it used to be the past maybe, you know, 15, 20 years, there's so much stuff out there that has been kept under the radar and away from our contemporary media that for a long time, people who did talk about this were shamed and made to feel that they did not belong and this was abnormal, and it's completely normal. It's just that we have to bring it to awareness and get more people talking and sharing, which is what I try to do with my show. Penny Kelly is one of the people that I interviewed recently, and she has had a Kundalini awakening. My stuff has happened much more calmly. I've had some tremendous experiences, but hers was, you know, overnight, you know, everything upside down, topsy-turvy. And integrating a thing like that takes years because it isn't, there's no perfect way or one way. It's not a uniform experience when you have a Kundalini awakening. It's okay, how am I doing this and how am I going to respond and what's the next phase that I can expect, or is there something I need to be aware of that, you know, what direction it could go? And it's different for everybody. So,
There was a conversation, an ongoing conversation about that when Stanislav Grof was still alive. He talked about spiritual emergency and spiritual emergence, an overwhelming change in your perception, you know, some experience that you can't explain, that needs to be integrated, and was starting to develop a network of healers that would set aside a space, a safe space in their home or office or whatever it was, where people who are going through that could be supported, rather than winding up in the psychiatric world, which is not useful. But the other thing is, I worked in locked psych units a couple of times, I think mostly to parse out whether or not I was crazy. Mm-hmm. And there was one unit which was the geriatric hallway of a larger hospital, and there were mostly women who had their voices that they had ongoing conversations with. So they had a conversation with somebody and they were having a constant conversation. But, you know, as far as the staff was concerned, they were crazy because they couldn't see who they were talking to. Of course, I could see who they were talking to. So it was clear to me that the companions were ghosts. And in an indigenous culture, in a lot of other cultures, these women would have been picked up as kids and noticed that they were mediums and talented and would have been, taken to the member of the tribe who did that stuff and knew about it and would have been trained. And their lives would have been about providing an incredible service based on their gifts, instead of becoming eccentric old ladies that had to be in the hospital because obviously they were crazy. I always thought that was just one of the shames of our culture.
Well, I don't think it's anything new. I think that's always been a frightening thing when people see things that other people can't validate or, you know, identify. The deal is not everybody sees the same thing.
Right.
And you have to understand that when somebody is telling you, I see this, if it is harmful, you know, for them to see this kind of thing and they're hurting themselves, then that's a crisis. If this is something that they're experiencing that isn't harmful and might be helpful, then exploring that a little further and saying, well, what is the point? What is the purpose? Is there a need? Are you getting some kind of a benefit from this? Is there, you know, is it helpful first? And then if that's okay, then I don't think you have to go into the punitive thing like a lobotomy, which is what we tend to look at and say, okay, let's fix it. Make it go away.
Right. Unfortunately, it makes everything go away. And,
that's the problem.
Psychotropic drugs just shut everything down.
I didn't mean to digress with that, but there are, in terms of the shows that I have done and the shows I focused on, Evan Alexander was one of the ones I wanted to talk with because he had the experience that it was so important because of his stature, because of his label, because of his education, to get that credibility to the after-death, near-death experience. And that was huge when he came out and said, this has happened for me. And we had Anita M. I knew about her before she became public and a known quantity, but that wasn't good enough because she didn't have that background of a doctor and the science to say that, okay, we have some validation here because this had instruments running on him the entire time. And then I can't remember which journalist decided to discredit him, basically for more or less an opinion, not because he had any valid data to discredit him. He was just, he wanted to say he was crazy and you know, get a lot of kudos for saying that. Well, then he himself. It was like, well, turnabout's fair play. I guess you didn't do your due diligence. So that's the kind of stuff I see happening now, though. More people are coming out who have the credentials to say it's legit when it's been happening the entire time. There were just no credentialed people to come forward who didn't want to lose their license or lose their livelihood. That's, you know, for good reason they didn't talk about it. But that's shifting.
Yeah, and I think as the planet is changing and everybody is, well, you know, it's called the ascension process and it's the rising frequency of the planet, which is raising the frequency of all of us. So it's like everybody's getting a healing 24/7 every day. So people that were not open to this before, that were not at a frequency where they would see it, are coming into it. Surprise.
Yeah. And if not, then they get an ET experience and go, uh-oh.
Right.
Oh. Right. Welcome to crazy.
Right. And the problem is that there are all of the beliefs that they've been, that have been instilled and all the reinforcement of it being, first of all, impossible, secondly, crazy, all the different things that they've been told, and now they have the experience. And what do you do with that? Who do you tell?
That's where the fun starts. Because once you have experienced it, your reality is different. You have changed. It gives you a brand new, clean slate of OMG. What is really going on here? Because at that point, nobody can take it away from you. You know what you've been through. And to me, that is crucial, to have that experiencer frame of reference. Somebody who is no longer, you know, trying to get everybody else to say, what did you do so I can experience it? Because I want you to tell me that it's real. And they're victims. You can't rely on somebody else's story. You have to create or engage in your own. Because when you do that, you change, and your ability to go beyond that and transcend that then is amplified. So that's where I see a whole lot more interest now. We've been doing this ghost thing for Weston, Missouri. It's Ghost Tales of Weston, Dining with Ghosts. Been doing it now, I think, for 6 or 7 years. And the initial, it was just more like a lark when people would come in and, oh, it's fun, we're going to go do this. And I see so much more incredible, intense curiosity, wanting to be in that environment, wanting to have that thing happen so they can say, I see, I feel it, I had it, you know,
right.
I had that connection. And I see a lot more openness and willingness for people to go into those environments where before they would just write it off as far-fetched or Impossible or a Looney Tunes experience. And that now it's like, well, maybe. And they're saying a lot more of what if, what if.
Well, it's also moving from belief, which is most of the culture, whether it's religion or news or even a lot of the science, as people understand it, mainstream science, is based on a set of beliefs. I've been told this. I haven't experienced it. I've been told it. And as soon as you get into the realm of experience, belief doesn't matter. The belief may become something you have to struggle with because it's been with you for so long. But you've had your experience, and experience, there is no belief about experience. So when people say, do you believe in ghosts? I go, no, I don't believe in ghosts. I have an experience of ghosts.
Yeah.
I've had some very intense experiences.
Yeah. There's a quote about that. And it says, do you believe in ghosts? And they say no. And said, well, some people can't see the color red. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Right. Well, the way I talk about it is like radio. Most people in daily life are on an AM radio frequency. It's short range. It's fuzzy. There isn't much on it except talk shows and local news. And you can't really get a whole lot there. But there's all the other frequencies. There's FM, there's TV, there's cell phones, there's the emergency bands, weather, all the rest of it. That's all radio. You just need the right kind of receiver. And there are some people who are broadband. They have the AM band, but they also have all these other bands, and they pick up other stuff. And the problem is that most people are on AM. They don't know about the other ones, and it seems totally wacky that there could even be other stuff.
Well, it can also be overwhelming when you have all the others, because then you have this awareness of this much greater, greater place, space in being, that you have no way to integrate or incorporate because it doesn't mesh with the current paradigm.
Right. Makes dating difficult.
Dating is always difficult, David. It's like, duh. Oh, yeah.
By the way, dragons,
Yeah, your companions may be throwing a kink in that, too, They're fire breathing or anything, just imposing, and those little teeth that they bear.
Yeah.
Okay.
And let me tell you, dragon laughter is really funny. They're sitting here going, Anyway. So, yes, there are more people having the experiences. And I don't think there is really a conscious effort to create a support network to catch these people.
Well, I see various support networks. I see a lot of different little subgroups all over the place. This kind of stuff didn't exist 15 years ago when I first had all of my shifting with the nightlights and stuff. It was difficult to find the stuff on intuition, let alone on pet communication and on stuff. The ET stuff just started basically in the past five years or so. And this is just expanded exponentially. I think, people are tracking it to the harmonic convergence. What was that? Like in 1989 or something, 87. And then 97, there was another frequency shift. And obviously,
the end of 2012.
When the planet was supposed to go away, right?
Yeah, the Mayan apocalypse that wasn't an apocalypse.
And it wasn't Mayan.
Well, and it was an apocalypse because apocalypse means it shall be revealed. So things did change and things were revealed. It's Greek. Yeah, it's Greek for the veil would be lifted.
Well, part of it is, if you're going to see, when you bring up the word demons, if you're going to see the worst in something, then that's what you're going to create. It can be a mouse and you'll see the dragon, because that's what your worst nightmare is. And as long as you project that first, that's what you're manifesting. If you go back and say, What is it? What is it? And allow it to reveal. Then you're more likely to see something you don't expect. And I think that's one of the things they advise when you're doing remote viewing is leave your mind open and anticipate the unexpected. And it's even beyond the anticipation of allow the unexpected.
Right.
But that's when you're looking for something you don't expect, then you're more likely to see something that's real instead of a projection of whatever it is you think you're supposed to see or somebody else wants you to see. It's a process of knowing what your mind is doing and getting ahead of the game.
Yeah, when people ask me what my training was like, you know, I trained with two healers. One might be called a shaman. I don't think the other would have called himself a shaman, even though I would. And what I always say is it was like being thrown in the deep end of the swimming pool and they just make sure you don't drown. You know, it's becoming so untouched by weirdness that you can just sit there in the middle of the weirdness and go, okay, so what do I need to do now? You know, ask spirit, what would you have me do? While everybody else is running for the hills with their hair on fire. And that's a big part of it is exposure to strange things and getting to that place of, okay, what is this? Who are you? What do I need to do here? Rather than being reactive to it. And that takes a while and, it's not straightforward or easy.
Well, you have to have a comfort level, a security, a confidence, and I don't think that happens in a vacuum. When you're whatever group you're born into, whatever your sociological position in whatever part of the world, you have to get through that initial starting point of what religion, what society, what ethnicity, all this stuff that you have to work through to develop your own character. And then get around that into your belief system and your ideologies. That's complicated. And, you know, then if you have any trauma to add to that, that makes it even more complex.
Right.
So there's a lot of stuff happening right now. And the thing that I see is that if you want to hold steady with what you're doing with your own personal growth, you have to look at your own stuff first. What am I projecting? What am I putting out there? Am I giving people the benefit of a doubt? Am I falling for every gossip thing that comes along? You know, and that's part of, we are in an incredible place right now with this information society where at the drop of a pin, you can have the next new fun thing and everybody's all of a sudden going, okay, here's the new trend. And what does that do? It takes you away from the things like you were talking about earlier, the importance of having clean water.
Right.
Because that's crucial.
The importance of clean water and the importance of integrity and how people are treated. we don't have time to go there.
Well,
as we used to say in the old neighborhood, don't get me started.
Yeah. But see, that's the thing. When we get so caught up in all of the things that we have created, all these wonderful and incredible luxuries that we take for granted, and they're not good enough, so we get bored and try something else. It's so far removed from going out and learning to connect with the plants, to connect with the environment, to feel the earth, to listen to the wind, to enjoy a storm, not necessarily a hurricane, but enjoy the changing of the seasons. And when we've had a drought, we need the rain. And, you know, those very basic components of our planet that when we're a consumer society and we're looking at all the things we're going to get and that all this stuff is a commodity rather than a gift and rather than something that we need to honor and respect and nourish rather than just continuing to take, our society goes a whole different direction and we lose that beautiful connection of inner sense, inner awareness that connects us with not only the planet, but everybody else around
right.
us. There's a whole, it's just a different direction and it's a different way of thinking.
Beautifully stated. beautifully stated. The whole sense of being able to communicate with everything, if you listen and are open to it, is second nature to me. But to a lot of people, it's like, what? You talk to trees? Yeah, and they talk back. What? But I talk to other people about it that have been doing this for most of their lives, and they're like, oh, yeah, well, you know, what's your experience with that? And I think the turning point in each little piece for most people is to find somebody who is so comfortable with it that they very matter-of-factly say, oh, yeah, it's like that. And by the way, this too, and give you the next little piece of information. So you know you're not crazy, and you know that there's more to know, and you continue.
Because when I have people talk to me who are struggling with some of this stuff that all of a sudden they're experiencing, and they did not plan on this, and nobody told them this, the first thing is the fear. And the first thing, am I crazy? That is the very first thing that comes out. You know, I must be loopy. I must be woo-woo. I must be, you know, all this stuff. And right. When they realize that, no, this is natural, you're just now getting an opportunity. All of a sudden, something triggered an activation, triggered a response, triggered an awareness, and it's natural. So just don't rush. And I like Douglas Adams, don't panic.
And the answer is 42.
Yes. Know where your towel is.
And if any of you out there don't know Douglas Adams and the 5-part Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy trilogy, I encourage you to read it. It's wonderful.
There's stuff going on all the time. And if you are afraid, you're not going to get there.
Well, we have gotten to the end of the show, and okay. And do you need to tell people how to find you online again?
Oh, well, thank you, David. Thank you. I appreciate the time. If you're looking for my stuff, wendyscoffeehouse.com, that's one of my blogs. Another one is Animal N, the letter N, site, S-I-G-H-T, or Wendy's the Talking to Nightlights, which is the site about the book that I wrote. So those are three ways, or Facebook. But those are three ways you can find me. Read my stuff and see if you want to find out more. How's that?
That's great. And what's your show on Empower?
Oh, yeah. Conscious Living with Wendy Garrett.
Which is
Oh,
yeah. That. Right. Yeah,
I'm already here.
Right. This is a song about Empower Radio.
Tra-la-la-la-la. How convenient.
Really. Wendy, thank you so much for being on the show. It's always a delight to hang out with you.
Thank you.
My guest tonight is Wendy Garrett, as you can tell, the amazing and wonderful. And check out her show on Empower and her blogs. And if you happen to get curious about who's this guy David and what in the world does he do, you can go to househealing.com, and cleverly hiding in plain view is every conceivable technology for getting in touch with me, including a link to my scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute free telephone conversation to assess how my work might be helpful with a person, place, situation, business, whatever it might be. And if you want more about the Farkas Files, you can find that cleverly enough at thefarkasfiles.com. And the whole archive is there. As we said earlier, I've been doing this for 5 years. How could that possibly be true? And so there are hundreds of interviews with incredible people and fascinating stories. So please take advantage of that. Easiest way to listen to that is the Empower Radio app for your smartphone. But we're also on every streaming media outlet. I think TuneIn, iHeartRadio, iTunes podcasts, Stitcher, and probably others. Just search for Empower Radio or Farkas Files, and there's all kinds of stuff. And Empower Radio has wonderful programs 24/7. So there are lots and lots of people with positive messages all day. So you can plug into those, including Wendy's show. And so here we are again. We've spent an incredible hour together with a wonderful person with fascinating information. And that's the whole point to this, is to share that with you. Thank you one and all for being with us wherever you are, whenever you are. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. Truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.